Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, it strikes me that there is something captivating, almost magical, about a royal wedding. Even for us Americans who revolted against the British monarchy some 235 years ago and who obtained some freedom from everything that it represented, well, the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton this past summer, there was something about it that captured our attention. Maybe it was the colorful pageantry, or maybe the choreographed formality, or the lavishness of the celebration. Maybe it was the funny hats of people at the wedding itself, but then who am I to talk as I come up the main aisle with a funny hat on and wear one even when I pray? But anyway, those kind of caught our attention. And inevitably, a wedding of any kind, well, it captures the fancy of people who've been married, who know now in a much better way what the words mean and what they imply and how they unfold in ways you have no control over. I confess, I got up early in the morning to watch television. I was interested in the liturgy in particular, but the whole thing was, as I say, captivating and almost magical. So it's not surprising that an event like that would have provided the grist, the basic material, the stuff of a parable. The parable of Jesus, the parables of Jesus are always about God. They're always about God at work. So the point is the action, which is intended to give us some insight into how God works in our world. You heard a moment ago, the kingdom of God may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And suddenly, we're invited to think about God, to think about God calling people, preparing dishes for presentation. We're invited. It's also about us. God is a caterer. I wonder who ever thought about that possibility. Working in the kitchen, making sure that things are ready and presentable and really look beautiful. Or God is a wedding coordinator, attentive to details. That's all part of the metaphor that we're invited to ponder and think about. It's a parable, not an allegory. So we have to be careful about assigning meaning to every single detail. Those who went to their farms are not agricultural reformers in our society, and those who beat up the servants are not necessarily paramilitary groups who refuse tax collectors on their stills back in the mountains somewhere. I mean, that's not the issue, but God. And every detail somehow enhances and makes more vivid and more pointed what it is that God is about in our world. So it's about weddings and royal weddings, about joy and festivity, about social gatherings, people coming from many different directions. It's about an abundance. It's about color and food. It's about generosity. Family generously celebrating a wedding, people who come with gifts generously. It's about new beginnings and fresh starts. It's about an inherent promise to look toward the future. I always begin looking at parables like this with a pencil in hand, and I circle the things, the ideas, the words that come repeatedly. You have it, some of you, in hand. King is mentioned 5 times. Must be important. Invitation, 6 times. Servants, 5 times. Guests, 3 times. It's a way of looking at the text, and so there we are thinking about God, There are other ways to talk about how God works in the world. There is the sower who goes out and sows the seed, and some of it falls on the rocks, etc. That's another way. There's also the owner of the vineyard who says it's about time to get some return on the investment. That's another way. Last night, I was privileged to be part of one of these welcoming home ceremonies for the honor flights of people who were military servants during the Second World War. My uncle was one of them. He's 90 years old. So there we were at Mitchell Field last night. And I thought to myself, this would be another wonderful parable. All the kids with flags and families, hundreds of people as the veterans came in their chairs, honored as heroes of another generation, but still alive in our midst, giving a witness. It would be a great, great parable of God at work, celebration. But this is the one presented for us, a wedding, a royal wedding. And so we're invited to sit with it. We're invited to ponder it, to explore all the nooks and crannies of the metaphor, to allow it to come alive in our minds. God as one who gives a royal banquet and prepares for it through all of history and individually invites every single person, ourselves included, to partnership, to participation about a God who is in the midst of people who are grateful for the invitation and welcome the abundance. Now, you may or may not have noticed, it took me a couple of days to catch this myself, it was addressed to the chief priests and to the elders of the society. It is about us, but it was addressed to them. And so a reminder that they were guests. They were not entitled recipients of privileged places. They were guests. And anyone with any kind of responsibility or authority is a guest at the table, present by invitation, not by right. And so the expectation is that everybody acts accordingly, properly behaves as guests. It was addressed to them. The final scene about that poor fellow caught without a wedding garment has always struck me as unfair, because it seems to me if you go out to the byways and call them in, a kind of come as you are invitation, you can't really complain if they come with something else. Nevertheless, what it does add to the whole parable is an expectation that we cooperate, that we do our part, whatever that may be. It's not about clothes, it's about participation and cooperation. A parable is a teaching about God at work. So often I find myself wondering, if this is an answer, what was the question that provoked that particular answer? I wonder. We don't know the question, usually, but there has to be one. And even the beginning of the account says that Jesus said in reply. So I wonder. And it's a chance for our imagination then to go in any number of different directions. Was the question, does God really care about the hungry in our world with so many people? Well, let me tell you about a wedding feast. Everybody invited. Or was the question, we first invited, are we the only ones present at table? Well, let me tell you a story about everybody invited as guests. Not as entitled by right. What about people who don't know how to live with gratitude? Who don't know how to live with generosity or joy? What about them? Those who are too serious or too self-righteous. Whatever the question was, this is an answer. And it may speak to a question that we live with. But it's also a very contemporary parable. If the whole world is a wedding, why are there so many people angry in our society? If the whole world is a wedding, well, don't we have to worry about the poor relatives? Any wedding that I know of has always got some Uncle Louie who has a little bit too much to drink in the corner of the reception, or an Aunt Mary of one kind or another who thinks no one is looking and slips cookies into her purse. I mean, what about the poor? If it's a wedding, what about the poor and the needy, whomever they may be, and those who don't quite fit in? If the whole world is a wedding, well, it's not about me. It's not about us. I listen to all the political rhetoric at this moment in history. Some only talk about taxes. Don't talk about the needy. Some only talk about governmental care and don't talk about personal responsibility and obligation to be part of the common good. Some talk about individuals and say nothing about the common good. The kingdom of God may be likened to someone who gives a grand and glorious wedding feast. We're expected to be grateful. We're expected to be generous. We're expected to be partners in every age, in any age. And this is also the gospel of the Lord.